Well, I hope everybody is excited as that video made fasting sound. So I hope you're super excited about fasting, because who doesn't get super excited about, you know, self-denial, giving up food and stuff? That's awesome. Listen, I hope you had a wonderful service with Morgan's dad, Pastor McDonald. I think he did a great job. We got to watch it live on live stream, my first experience watching the live stream, and so it was pretty awesome. He did an absolutely amazing job, and so I hope you enjoyed it. It was awesome to hear that people came up, gave their heart to Jesus on the last day of the year, and so we're excited about what God's doing and what he's going to continue to do this year. And so you don't miss out. Invite people. If you've been looking to bring somebody, so I've been looking for a church, bring them Sunday. We're going to talk about what God's done in 2017 and what we're believing for in 2018. And there'll be a sermon in there too. But it's going to be an exciting time. But part of that, as you saw, is we are going to be talking about fasting. And so tonight, I figured I would bring that exciting subject to light tonight. And so we're going to talk a little about fasting. And so we're going to cover two different chapters tonight, in Matthew chapter 6 and also in Isaiah 58. We're going to spend a lot of time in Isaiah 58, but we're going to start off in Matthew 6 if you want to join us. So there's some interesting stuff about fasting. And gearing up for fasting, we've been talking about fasting with our staff for quite some time and gearing up. We knew that we were going to do a Daniel fast probably about 4 or 5 months ago at the 1st of January, just believing, because we believe the first year was of last year was just kind of all about reaching out and saving and seeing people, the one lost, and trying to get some things established. But we really believe that God is going to bring revival in 2018. We believe he's going to do that through many different avenues, and we're excited about that. And we need a higher wisdom and a higher reliance. And if you know anything about fasting, it doesn't change God's heart, it changes ours. A lot of people, as they're praying and they're fasting, they believe that all of a sudden God is meeting their needs. But I think what the problem is, our needs start lining up with God's, and it just appears like he's meeting our needs. But the truth is, what's really happening is all of a sudden our heart, our mind, our needs, our wants and desires begin to line up with God's heart's wants, needs, and desires. And all of a sudden it just seems like, man, God's just really starting to answer needs. But I think it's because our heart gets lined up with his. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that. And in Matthew chapter 6, all the way 1 through 18, and I'm going to skip around, so just stay, keep up with me tonight, and we'll launch in. So here it is. He says, "Watch out, don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired by others, for you will lose your reward from your Father in heaven." So don't just go out and do a bunch of things for show, is what he's saying. He's not saying don't go do good things. He's saying don't go make a big spectacle at it just so people can pat you on the back and say, "Wow, that Sandra Herring, she is just so amazing. Look at all the stuff she does for everybody." You know, people may notice, but that's not the point. And the problem is, sometimes when we get noticed, that's the only reward we get. And I'd rather get the reward that God can give than what the reward that man can give. And then it goes on. It says, when you give to someone in need, don't do as the hypocrites do, blowing trumpets in the synagogues and in the streets to call attention to their acts of charity. I tell you the truth, they have received the reward, all the reward they will ever get. Think about that. So basically, you ever have someone, you ever been in a meeting? I've been in a meeting like this, where we're starting to raise money, where we say, man, God's want to do something. We need people to help raise money for this. And there's always that person, it seems like they want to let everybody know that they're giving a $1,000 check. And then everybody says, "Wow, can you believe it? You know what? They just got their reward." And if they'd have done it secretly, they could have got what God would have given them. God could have blessed them. And I don't know how you respond to that, but I tell you, I would much rather get my reward from what God can give me than what a pat on the back can get me from you guys. I mean, I like you guys, and I do like pat on the backs. I like an amen, a nod, something every once in a while, but I'd much rather have God reward me for my giving, for my actions, for what I'm doing, much more than I would somebody just to pat me on the back and say, you're just doing such a good job. I mean, that's great. Don't stop that. I mean, please, I need that. Especially on Monday mornings is a good time to send an encouraging text, just saying something like that. Pastor Joan, you can amen there. You preached on Sunday before, you know. It says, but when you give to someone in need, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Do it secretly. Don't make a big deal. I just kind of give them one of them good Pentecostal handshakes where you just put a good 20 in the hand and you just shake their hand and walk away. Everybody doesn't need to know that is what it's saying. And then it says, give your gifts in private and your Father who sees everything will reward you. That's the ultimate goal. Do what God do what no one knows so that God can reward you, because really we're doing it for Him. We're not just doing it for everybody else. We're not doing it so we can get puffed up. We're doing it privately. And it's different. You know, church has been compared a lot of times to country clubs and everything else, but you know, there's nothing wrong with the Rotary Club and all their clubs, but they do a lot of things and everybody gets to see what they do. Church is different. God's principles work so different than the world's principles. We do it privately. We do it secretly. We take care of one another, and nobody knows. It's a great system. It's a great system that God uses. And Sondra and I have been the recipient of someone's blessing, of a Pentecostal handshake. We came home one time at a church we were pastoring in Denison and didn't have any food, and someone dropped off 2 bags of groceries on our doorstep. And back then, we could really use it. We were on a percentage of the tithe, and we had 20 people in the church, and bless God, we could really use it. And so we were excited. 2 kids in the house. Madison wasn't born yet. And I'll tell you, it was a tremendous blessing, because you never know. We don't have a clue who did it. But they blessed us, and I'm sure that God blessed them. And then he goes on. He says, when you pray, don't do like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on the streets and corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they'll ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, pray to your Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. When you pray, don't babble on as the Gentiles do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating a bunch of words again and again. And I'll talk about this another time, so I'm going to skip through a lot of this. The Lord teaches us how to pray, but we're going to cover that a little bit later on a Sunday in a few weeks. So I'm going to just push that to the side, and I'm going to tell you to jump down to verse 16. And it says, but when you fast, don't make it obvious. But I want people to know I'm suffering. Oh, woe is me. You know, I'm going to put on sackcloth and ashes. I want people to know. That's not what he says. Do it. Don't make it obvious as the hypocrites do, for they're trying to look miserable and disheveled so that people would admire them for their fasting. I tell you the truth, that is the only reward you will ever get. But when you fast, comb your hair, wash your face, and I'll add this, brush your teeth, please. Hey, amen. Put on deodorant. They didn't have that, but I'm encouraging you, deodorize up. Then no one will notice you are fasting except your Father, who knows what you do in private, and your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. Let me just start off right here before we get into Isaiah saying this. The key to this is when you fast. It's when that got us. He doesn't say, if you pray, pray like this. He doesn't say, if you give, then give like this. He doesn't say, if you decide to fast. He says, when you pray, when you give, when you fast. It was an expected concept and understanding that believers would do these things, that we as believers, we as followers of Christ, we would pray, we would give, we would fast. And so this is an understanding of the church that we would do this. Now, my wife asked a great question. She goes, well, how do you explain, if you're not supposed to let anybody know, corporate, you know, if we're doing it as a body of Christ and we're encouraging everybody to fast, all throughout the Old Testament, all throughout Jewish customs, you will find where they called for corporate fast for a move of God and for seeking God. And we're going to talk a little bit about that in just a minute. But you see that. You see where Esther had a time where her uncle Mordecai had come to her, and she said, you know, well, if this is to be, and I'm going to go king, call everybody to pray and begin to fast and begin to seek God, and we'll just all pray, and if I go into the king, if it happened, if I die, I die, but if nonetheless, we'll just believe and trust God. But she called for a corporate fast. We know that when Jonah went to Nineveh, that the king there actually called for a fast when they began to come to repentance over and over. It was just part of Jewish customs. The problem is when you get to the New Testament, you begin to find out that It's based on the gospel. Everything about the New Testament points to Jesus. Everything. That's not a bad thing, but everything it does, you don't hear a lot about corporate fast because really it's centered around Jesus. So you talk about private fasting, and he talks a lot about personal fasting, and it goes on from there. But I do believe there is a personal fasting and there is a corporate fast. And so we're calling as a church body that we would get back to do something that we haven't done since I was younger, and we're going to get back to where we do a fasting. We're going to call for a corporate fast at our church, and we're going to do a Daniel fast. Now, you can do a complete fast if you want. Some people for medical reasons can't do a full Daniel fast. And if you need to just fast something, we'll talk a little bit more about that on Sunday. But we are calling for a Daniel fast, and we're going to provide opportunities. We're going to have devotions that we can follow along as a church body. We're going to have recipes we're going to post each day on Facebook and on the recipe of the day. Who doesn't like a recipe of the day, right? And it's not going to be, some are going to be absolutely delicious, and other things you're going to be like, this is the worst thing I've ever tasted. It's fasting, guys. This isn't your steak and potatoes, okay? So we're going to enter into that. And so Jesus says, when you pray, and these statements are all found in one of the most popular sermons, the Sermon on the Mount, one of Jesus' most popular sermons that he preached the whole time. Jesus fasted, so did Moses, so did David, Esther, and the Jews. They all found time where they were fasting. And if you were like me in your church growing up, some people in here, you may not have grown up in church, and that's okay. But if you were like me, there was times when our church would call for a fast, and there were times, and sometimes they were complete fasts, sometimes they were a week fast, sometimes they were a few days fast. They were complete fasts. And then sometimes they would do a Daniel fast, which is like this. And the principle behind the Daniel fast is just this, that when Daniel was in captivity with all the other Hebrew children, that he didn't want to eat meat offered to idols. So what did he do? He said, if you'll let us just eat fruits and vegetables, and you'll let us just kind of eat just those things and not meat, I promise you, if we're not stronger and we're not more fair than the rest, then you know, we'll eat. But what happened is he didn't eat the meat offered to idols, and so then he ate only fruits and vegetables and water, and he was more fair, more stronger than all the others, and so the Lord allowed that and blessed him. So many people have moved into a Daniel fast, which is just basically a partial fast. But we're going to do this as a church body for 21 days. We're going to start on Sunday. We're going to announce, and we're going to ask everybody to do it for 21 days, and then we're going to end on the last Sunday of the month with a break the fast feast. It's going to be cool. So we'll all come together. We'll get to eat again. And we'll have lots of butter and all that good stuff and sugar and caffeine again. Because no caffeine on the Daniel fast. But we'll talk more about that later. But yeah, no caffeine. No, yeah, it's going to be wonderful. It's just going to be so great. If you've ever broke a fast and you start getting that headache inside, it's just wonderful. It just makes you want to pray. No, it really doesn't. But it will. But you will. You'll be moved, because as we're doing this, what we're doing is we're saying, I'm not going to rely on these things. I'm going to trust God, and I'm going to pray. And every time I feel a hunger pain, and every time I feel like I want a desire for those other things, I'm going to spend that time seeking God and praying. I was thinking the other day how many times our church staff gets together and we think about food. We kind of get there. We're like, man, did you bring anything for lunch today? You want to go out to eat? And we start thinking, well, we're going to go out to eat. And we like Kirkland's because they got pie. They got the best pie in town. And so we go to Kirkland's a lot on the square. And so we'll go eat over there. But that's kind of our life just seems to rotate around food. You don't believe it? I've got teenagers. They get out of school and say, what are we having for dinner? Well, I don't know. I'm not off work. Well, when are we eating? I don't know. Well, could you bring me something home? No, we're going to cook. Well, what is that going to be? I mean, everything's about food. And so it's been quite interesting to talk about fasting and rebuilding those principles. Sondra and I have personally done the Daniel fast several times, as well as many other people in our church. But since I've been here, I believe this is the first corporate fast we've kind of called for. And so we want to see this, and we want to see God move on our church. We want to see revival. We want to see a dependence on God, and we want our spirit and our mindset lined up with God. And so part of that, doing that, is seeking God. And so we're going to be moving through this. And so fasting can help us focus and humble ourselves, listen to God and reveal sins, break strongholds, and send healing to our life. It can heighten our worship and increase intimacy with the Lord. And it can make us hungry, not for food or things, but for more of Jesus. And that's what we want. Because right in the middle of this, we're going to talk about routine. After Vision Sunday, we're going to talk about the routine of a prayer life. And you're like, well, I already have a prayer life. You know what? Everybody doesn't. And most people don't have a great prayer life. What they have is, Lord, bless me, I'm tired, but I got to go to work, amen. But we want to talk about really, if I woke up to my wife and the only thing I ever said is, hey, Sandra, I'm glad you're here, have a good day, and that was our whole conversation, that's not a relationship. That's a passing, and that's the way we treat our prayer life with God. So we're going to talk about the power of a routine in prayer, and then we're going to talk about the power of getting in the Word and seeking after God, and we're going to talk about the power of fasting, and we're going to talk about the power of community. We're going to talk about this during this time of fasting so that we will learn to have such a focus on God that because let me just tell you, this world's not getting better. And if there was ever a need to fast, it's now. If I needed to fast in the 80s and I needed to fast in the 90s and I needed to fast in the 2000s, how much more in 2018 should we as a church body and Christians and believers need to seek God and pray and fast and have a hunger for God? Are you fully satisfied, completely surrendered, or do you sense a stirring for more of God, and how do we get there? And so fasting and prayer helps us hear God and move towards Him. And so when do we fast? The whole thing I want to talk about tonight is found in Isaiah 58, and it's when should we fast? And so in Isaiah 58, beginning in verse 6, we're going to go verses 6 through 12, and we're going to break down these verses and talk about when we should fast. And I love this. Verse 6 says, know this is the kind of fast I want. He's saying, listen, don't do all that stuff. Here's the kind of fast I want you to do. This is what I'm wanting from you. Free those who were wrongly imprisoned. Lighten the burden of those who work for you. The very first thing, if you just put a pin right there and you want to just write a side note, the very first time when you know you need to fast is when there is a heavy burden. When there is a heavy burden, there is a heavy burden that when there are people who've been wrongly imprisoned, we feel a burden for people who are going through something. They're being oppressed. They're being attacked. They're going through something. And God is putting up, when there is a heavy burden, that is a great time for us as a church body and us individually to begin to fast. To seek God and say, God, what do you want out of this? And begin to pray and humble ourselves and seek God and what He wants. The next part of this verse, it goes on, it says, and let the oppressed go free. Second thing, time to fast is when we are oppressed by the enemy. There is a difference. You know, we talk about possession of the enemy and oppression. When there's a great oppression, a great war, spiritual warfare going on, and you feel an oppression by the enemy, we need to pray and we need to fast. You know, Jesus even said this. He said, I'm with you now, but there'll be a time I'm not with you. And there'll be a time for you to pray and fast. Why? Because His disciples were saying, John's disciples are fasting all the time. Why aren't we fasting more? He says, because I'm with you. But when I'm not with you, there's going to be a great need for you to pray and for you to fast and for you to seek me. And so when that happens, when he's not with us, we're not feeling near, we're feeling this attack, we're feeling this oppression by the enemy, there's a time to pray and seek God's face and humble ourselves and go after God. Can you imagine what would happen? Forget the Sunday morning crowd. It's a bigger crowd. Just the Wednesday night crowd, just the people in this room said, you know what? I and my family are going to fast. What a difference, what a powerful impact it would make in the kingdom of God. But it's got to be an individual thing, because here's the deal. This isn't about guilt. If somebody doesn't do it, I'm not your Holy Spirit. I'm not following you around. I'm not going to find out if you fasted or not. That's between you and the Lord. We're just calling and we're saying, we as a church body are saying, we are calling for a fast. We want you to join us in prayer. We want you to join us in fasting. But it's your personal desire of what you want to do and how you want to seek God, if you're going to do that or not. So when you're oppressed by the enemy, the other thing is, it goes on, it says in the next part of that verse, it says, and remove the chains that bind people. We need to fast when caught in a sinful pattern and people are bound by their sin and people are caught and they're oppressed and they're in bondage of their sin. We need to pray. Listen, when I can't seem to break out of a sinful pattern, I should fast. When I can't break out of something, listen, when my mind begins to wonder and my first thing out of my mouth becomes gossip, or my first thing out of my mouth becomes hatred words or anger, I need to fast. When I find myself being led constantly in sinful actions, sinful thoughts, sinful deeds, I need to find a way to break that sin pattern. And the very first thing I need to do is line my life up with God. And I do that through prayer and through fasting. The one thing I can say that some versions of the Bible leave out is they say, you know, there was this one scripture that says, as this spirit doesn't come out except by prayer and fasting. Sometimes they just put prayer. Let me tell you, those two are a powerful key together. There's prayer and fasting. And when they come together, let me tell you, there's something that happens in the spiritual realm that begins to line me up and makes me what God wants me to be, and things begin to change in the spiritual realm. All of a sudden, there's a new authority, not because God changed, because Brian changed. Because Brian said, less of me and more of you. Brian said, I care less about the things of this world and pleasing this old fleshly man. And I need to please the spiritual man. And so therefore, I need to humble myself. I need to deny oneself. And I want to seek after God. And every time I deny, and every time I feel that hunger, every time I do that, I want to seek God. I want to go after Him. I want it to be a constant reminder that I need more of God. I want my hunger not to be for food, but I want my hunger to be so enriched for God and for the things of His kingdom. So when I need to break a pattern in my life, I should fast. The second thing is, our next verse, it goes on, it says, share your food with the hungry and give shelter to the homeless. Give clothes to those in need, who need them, and do not hide from relatives who need your help. Just ponder there for a moment. You always can tell it's that relative by the way the phone whines when it rings. You know, isn't there always somebody in your life, a friend or relative, that every time they call, they got bad news and they always need something. They always need something. There's like, maybe it's your kid. I don't know. But there's always that thing. And here's what he says. We need to be able to pray and we need to fast when we want to give to someone else. Here's the deal. He says, again, this whole verse starts out, says, no, this is the kind of fasting I want you. I want you to do all these things, and I want you to share food with the hungry. I want you to give shelter to the homeless. I want you to give clothes to those needs, and don't hide from the relatives who need your help. When I need to give to someone else, when I want to give to someone else, I should be able to pray. I need to pray that God would supply, that God would allow. There's something that comes out of fasting that causes me to be able to have what I need to give to other people. I was sharing with our staff yesterday in 2 Chronicles, so we're hitting them up for fasting too. And we were talking about 2 Chronicles when Jehoshaphat was going to war, and it seemed like all the enemies were around him in chapter 20 in 2 Chronicles. And all of a sudden he called for a corporate prayer and a corporate fasting, and he just believed God that he was going to help take care of the enemies. And as they were walking, they began to sing, and they had the worshipers go before them, and the worshipers began to sing. And as the worshipers began to go to sing before them, it says the minute they began to sing that the enemy turned on itself and they killed one another. And when they showed up, because they'd been praying, they had been fasting, and when they showed up on the scene and they started singing, they had killed one another. That said not one soul had escaped because they had killed each other. And then it said, this is my favorite part, they went out and gathered up all of the wealth, all the riches, all the plunder, and it took them 3 days to gather it all up. There's something that happens when you begin to pray and you begin to fast and seek God, that God will not only give you a desire to help those that are hungry and need clothes and need shelter, but He will give you the resources to accomplish what He's putting in your spirit and in your heart. God wants to resource you. How do you find that resources? Let me tell you, I can't write a check for you. And a lot of people can't, but God has an endless supply. We hear it say all the time. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns the sun, the moon, the stars that shine. Even owns this heart of mine. He has everything. He has everything. He is God. He has wealth. He has more than what you could ever use. God wants to get money through you and not to you. The key is that we have to get our heart ready and our heart right and in the right place so that we won't hold on to it. Because God's desire is not to get money to you. We think that it's all about me, but that's an American mindset. God's desire is to get money through you to the kingdom. That's a good tithe sermon. That's not even in the notes. That's just Garrett there for giving. But you should. God wants to get money through you for the kingdom. He wants to get money through you to give to missions. He wants to get money through you to give to the hungry. He wants to get money through you. God wants to use you as a conduit. Anyway, verse 8. I'm an amen that better than anybody else. But anyway, then your salvation will come like the dawn. And your wounds will heal quickly. Let me tell you, when you begin to fast, all of a sudden there's an awakening that happens. There's a stirring that happens. Everything you've been hoping and praying for, your salvation, the thing you've been praying for, will awaken and come like the dawn. And the wounds, those emotional wounds, those physical wounds, those deep, dark hurts that nobody else knows about will begin to heal. And it goes on, it says, your goodness will lead you forward, and the glory of the Lord will protect you from behind. He's got my front, he's got my side, and he's got me from behind. He's got me covered. When I need to fast, I need to fast when I need encouragement. When I need encouragement, I should fast. Whenever I'm feeling down and I'm feeling attacked by the enemy, there's something that happens in the middle of fasting that all of a sudden, it doesn't happen on day 1, 2, 3. Let me tell you, those are bad days. When you haven't had caffeine in a few days and you're used to having 4 or 5 cups a day, maybe that's just me and that's before 8 o'clock. And then all of a sudden you break fast and you got a massive headache. Let me tell you, you're probably not very pleasurable to be around. Okay, I'm not very pleasurable to be around. You know, let's just be real. And then all of a sudden you add the headaches with the hunger pains, and you're hungry, and then you become hangry, which is a process between being hungry and angry. So you're hangry because you want food, and you're not getting what you want, and you're craving that donut. Because the very day you, listen, whenever you fast, McDonald's fries never smell so good. Somebody just walks by and you're like, did you have McDonald's today? You know, you just begin to smell it. You may be sick of McDonald's and fast food, but there's something, everything you hate right now, when you begin to fast it, it all smells great. It all tastes wonderful. You just want a little drop. It just, you know, anyway. I know. He wants us to fast. It sounds like he wants us to go buffet our bodies. But so when you need encouragement, verse 9, when you call, the Lord will answer. Yes, I am here, he will quickly reply. Another reason why we need to fast, and when should we fast, is when an answer to prayer is needed. When I'm needing a need, I've been praying for this family member, I've been praying for this friend, I've been praying for this church person, I've been praying for, when I need an answer, I begin to pray. And the Bible says that when you fast, when you're in the middle of this prayer, then when you call, the Lord will answer. Yes, I am here. Sounds good to me. Then he goes on and the Lord replies, remove the heavy yoke of oppression. Stop pointing your finger and spreading vicious rumors. Another thing we need to do when we know we need to fast is when we need to examine ourselves. Fasting causes me to examine myself, causes me to look deep within myself and say, God, it's not Sandra. I thought she was the problem. She's not the problem. Y'all know she can never be the problem. So when I say that, it's a good example because nobody ever believes she's the problem. But fasting helps me understand that she's not the problem. Fasting just helps me understand that, you know? So whenever I begin to fast, all of a sudden I say, you know what, Sandra's not the problem. Joshua, Michaela, Madison, they're not the problem. I've got a problem, and I need to examine myself. And Lord, search my heart and see if there's any wicked way in me. Lord, that anger I thought was coming because of them, Lord, it's coming because of a bad attitude or because of a bad frustration I didn't let go, or it's cause for unforgiveness I didn't give. Lord, I pray that you would help me to forgive, and Lord, help them to forgive me. And it causes me to examine me. Fasting, listen, nothing strips you down and makes you feel more reliant and helpless than when you've been fasting, and whether you're doing a full fast or even if you're doing a partial fast. And there's something about fasting that all of a sudden it causes me, everything I read comes alive. And all of a sudden, I don't read this word on how God can deal with you. I begin to read and say, how can it deal with me? All of a sudden, the sword that I'm trying to hold to cut you is all of a sudden cutting me, and I don't like it. But it causes me to examine myself, and I look at this thing like a mirror instead of like a bazooka to say, come on, buddy. Anyway, I guess I'm the only Christian who's ever thought the Word of God needed to be a weapon for other believers. But I'm sorry. I'm human. Verse 10. Feed the hungry and help those in trouble. Then your light will shine from the darkness, and the darkness around you will be as bright as the noon. Verse 11, it says, the Lord will guide you continually. Another reason why we need to pray is when I need a direction. There's been times when I've been praying. Before we came to this church, there was a time where Sandra and I spent praying and fasting and saying, God, is this the right thing? Is this the right place? Lord, is this where you want us? Praying and fasting. When I need direction for a job, when I need the direction about a decision in my life, when I need direction about my finances, when I need directions about which way to go, when I need a direction, when I say, God, I'm seeking you, I need an answer, I don't have the answer, and you're surrounded by all the images and all the voices in the world, and I need to focus and I need to cut all the other voices out. Let me tell you, it's hard to fast spiritually and give up food when you're still filling your spirit with a bunch of junk through TV and radio and other things. So sometimes it's best if you cut out social media, because I need to hear from God. And when I need a direction, I need to fast other things as well. I don't need to get on a little birdie told me, but that's a whole nother thing. I think that's thoughts of the devil. Anyway. It goes on and says, then the Lord will guide you continually, giving you water when you are dry and restoring your strength. You should fast when you need a spiritual restoration. Okay, glad you don't need spiritual restoration. I need spiritual restoration. I think, listen, it will be like giving you water when you are dry and restoring your strength. You will be like a well-watered garden, like an ever-flowing springs. When I need spiritual restoration, I need to fast. And if ever there was a time for spiritual restoration in the church, it's now. It's now. We are in some of the most crucial times of the church world. I don't know if there'll be a 2019. I don't know if there'll definitely be a 2020. All I can tell you is we have today. And I tell you that if there was ever a time to seek God today, it's now. Because the church isn't being blown apart. It's subtly being picked apart. And all of a sudden we're seeing churches closing. We're seeing churches in decrease. And what we really need is for people to have a hunger and thirst for God. Here's what I know. When you fast, you lift God up. And Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw men unto me. That's what'll draw it in. When Jesus is the center, Jesus will draw them in. He's the greatest attraction we could ever hold at the church. He's better than any concert. He's better than any speaker. He's better than any lights. He's better than anything else. He is the thing that will draw people in. When he is lifted up, and what causes him to be lifted up is when we have a hunger and we have a thirst and our desire is to see him lifted up and we put him as the center, all of a sudden people will come in and that will be a spiritual restoration. You want to change people's homes? Let them be changed spiritually. Verse 12. Some of you will rebuild the desert ruins in your city. Then you will be known as a rebuilder of the walls and a restorer of the homes. We should fast when we need revival. Revival, revival, revival means to bring back to life. We will be known as a rebuilder and of the walls and a restorer of homes. When you need revival in the church and you need a revival in the local home, you fast. You pray, you seek God. When you see your family is going away, you don't like. When you see that the world is going away, you don't like. We need to pray for revival. We need to pray and seek God for a spiritual turnaround and turn this world, turn this church upside down for God. That's what we need. We need a revival. And I'm telling you, revival doesn't come because you had the best evangelist. An evangelist that comes will tell you, an evangelist doesn't bring revival. Hungry hearts bring revival. That's what does it. And your hunger, when it's so listen, there's something about enthusiasm and hunger that draws people because they want to know what you're so excited about. It will draw other people to the church. It will bring, listen, we are the best advertising tool of the church. So when you're out there and you're like, man, I can't miss church tonight. I feel sick, but I am missing church for nothing. If I have to be quarantined in the back corner of the church, I ain't missing church. They're like, you're not finding this. Listen, if you're sick, you know, you can just stay home. I ain't missing church. I'll miss something. When you say, not only do I want to get to church, but I got to get the front row before someone else does. That would be nice. I'm just telling you. It might do something for my ego too, but beside of that, I'm just saying there's something about when people say, I got to get up to the front before Sister Sandra takes my seat because I got to get the front row because I don't want to miss out. I don't want anybody to distract me. I got to get up front. And there's such a hunger. There's something that stirs. It will cause people to want to come and find out what's going on that's so different here. And what it is people that are hungry, that are seeking God, and that are fasting and praying and believing for lives to be changed forever. I grew up in a Pentecostal church all my life, and so many times, we didn't say this, but we related revival as people having a shouting match. But that's not revival. I mean, that's all great stuff, but that's not revival. Revival is when hearts are stirred and they're moved beyond a moment, and day and day to day, day to day to day to day to day to day, they can't wait. They're so excited. They're just so hungry for God. That's real revival. Anybody can have an emotional move in the moment, and then tomorrow be the same they were when they went down there. But revival causes people to move beyond an altar experience into a life experience that causes them to live out their faith and change their walk and every day live out a different lifestyle. That's revival. Isaiah 58 is a beautiful chapter about what God does when we fast. It's a beautiful chapter about what God wants when he fasts and what he doesn't want when we fast. He doesn't want us to merely exercise self-denial. I'm kind of closing, so just letting you know I'm wrapping up right now. He doesn't want us to exercise self-denial or simply denial for the sake of denial. God expects us to share bread with the hungry. He expects us to have a heart for the lost. God directs us to set the oppressed and remove their chains. What does that exactly look like for us? For each of us differently. If we have loved ones that are bound by addiction or bound by problems or bound by divorce and it looks like their marriage is being torn apart, it looks like their life's being torn apart, that's what it may look for us, and we need to see them set free. It looks different for all of us. So if we see loved ones suffering, we need to pray and fast for deliverance for them. The challenge in this passage is to allow God to train our eyes and our hearts to see the needs of others around us and move on those needs. The result of Isaiah 58:11 is this. It is in Isaiah 58:11. It says, the Lord will guide you continually and give you water and when you are dry and restoring your strength. So let me ask you this as we kind of close out this thought. Who is God putting on your heart to intercede for today? Because I got to tell you, for me right now, there's not one person I'm praying for and fasting for. I'm praying for the leadership of this church. I'm praying for you and believing that God would restore you as a pastor. I believe that's my heart. I want to see a church that is hungry for God, that desires for God, and that wants to see a move of God. Not just an altar experience. I'm all for the altar experience, but something that moves people beyond an altar to a life change. And I'm praying for my family. I got families going through struggle. I got brother, sister. Saunders' dad had to have chemo again while we were down there. He was going through a tough time. My dad is on some different medicine. He's going through a tough time physically. He slept most of the time we were down there because he's struggling. We got people that are hurting. We got people who need lives literally set free from the bondage and oppression of sin. We got attacks of the enemy that are confusing people's mind, that are causing depression. We've got real serious needs to pray for. I have counseling sessions just about every week with somebody that's in a struggle or in a battle and don't know a way out. They're not expecting me to have the answer. They're just coming to tell their story and say, please pray for me. You know what? I'm praying and I'm fasting for them. Because for some of them, I don't have an answer. But I know the one who does, and I'm seeking after him. And as I pray and as I fast, it's a denial of me so that it can be more of him. The more I decrease, the more he might increase. That's what I'm praying for. That's what I'm believing for. It's 7:30, and I know you won't be able to spend too much time in prayer, but just for a few moments, I'm just going to ask you just for a few moments. And if you need to go pick up your kids, that's fine. I understand that. But let's just spend a few moments either in the pew or in your seat. And let's just pray, because Sunday morning, as we step out, we talk about the vision and where we believe God's leading the church. I'm asking this church as a whole to seek God and begin to willing to step out in prayer and fasting. For some of you, God's going to call for a complete fast. For some of you, you're going to be fine with the Daniel fast. For some of you, you're going to challenge your kids. Maybe they don't do a Daniel fast, but you're going to challenge your kids to put down their phones for social media for a time. It's going to look different for everybody. The point is that there is a less of us, more of him.